That is where we pick up Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. Jesus has been born, and in verse 10 it says, "And the angel said to them," this is the shepherds, "an angel saying to the shepherds, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that this morning, as well as at Christmas Eve, that your truth from these two scriptures, God, would reign true in our lives. God, it would change us from the inside out. The reality of who you are and what Christmas is would change each of us from the inside out. God, do what only you can do today and in Christmas Eve. In Jesus' name, amen. So I truly believe that in this passage of Scripture, if you ever need to know about Christmas, everything you need to know about Christmas you can find in these two verses. This statement from the angel to the shepherds, that the shepherds would then proclaim to the world, this is it. Everything we need to know about Christmas wrapped up in these two sentences. And so today what we're going to do is focus on three things we can learn about Christmas here. And then on Thursday at Christmas Eve, we're going to discuss and talk about what the title that the angel gave God. When it says that he will be with us and he is Christ the Lord, that he is a Savior and he's Christ the Lord. We're going to talk about that on Christmas Eve. I just want to encourage you, please make time, 5:30 p.m. to be here Christmas Eve. We're going to have the wall move back. We're going to have as many chairs as we can get. Last year, I think we had about 350 people in here, and that was changing the location at the last second. This year, I promise we'll have the AC on. Okay, last year we didn't have the AC on if you were here. It was the hottest Christmas message that has ever been preached, temperature-wise. So, the three things you need to know about Christmas. Here's the first one. You ready? Christmas is good news. Christmas is good news. So I looked the last couple days, I've been studying the news and just kind of figuring out what does the news have to say. And so I got on one of our national news coverage agencies, ABC, and I said, all right, let me just look at the first, 10 things that I see pop up at ABC News. And this morning I looked again, and let me just tell you that I found 17 headlines on ABC News. 17 headlines. 15 of the 17 were negative. 15 of the 17 were bad news. 15 of the 17 had something to do with terrorism, had something negative to do about politics, had something to do with mass murderers, had something to do with the law being broken. 15 of the 17 were negative. There were two good news stories. The first one was about a kitten. And the second one was about a woman who found a wallet that had $4,000 in it and she returned it to the person who owned it. So we're talking about in the entire nation, a national news source could find two positive things to lead with. And one was a kitten and one was a woman who found $4,000. That's the good news that we have in our country today. Then I said, you know, maybe it's just our country's in a bad spot. Let's go to Bradenton. Let's go to the Bradenton Herald, good old Bradenton Herald, right? And I said, let's get on that and see if there's any information that's on there. And you know what's crazy? There were six top stories and all six of them were negative. Let me give them to you. Armed and Dangerous, talking about a guy who was on the loose. A deadly shootout by police. Talked about the fact that they had found out that the little girl who had just recently, they had just found, had been missing, and they'd found her body, had found out that she had been drowned by her own family. We also found out that there was a dog that had bitten somebody. We also found out that there were, here's the local inmates, the people who just got arrested this week. Don't you love that one? That's always embarrassing. And then there's the 8-year-old who was tortured, if you guys read about that in the news. That's what's the leading on the Bradenton. And then I had to scroll all the way down to the bottom to find something positive. Of all the things that are positive, it was the USF Bulls. We're talking about the USF Bulls. You know it's bad when the only good news is the USF Bulls football team. I don't know about you, but we are surrounded in a world of bad news. But the angel came to proclaim to the shepherds, "Behold, I have good news." Christmas, if you want to know anything about Christmas, number one is this: Christmas is good news. Let me set the stage. the most conservative of scholars would say confidently that there was approximately 4,000 years of history between the dealings of man and the dealings of God leading up to the birth of Christ. 4,000 years. During those 4,000 years of time, we know that God destroyed the entire world with a flood. We know that he destroyed cities by fire for sin. We knew that sin was running rampant in the world. We know that there was people who were murdering. There was adultery. There was stealing. There was lying. And there was deception. We know that people were taking advantage of the poor and the weak. There were wars. There was idol worship. God was judging his own people. There was captivities. There was slavery. And there was genocide. So we know at least the most conservative of Bible scholars will say there is 4,000 years of documented history between God and mankind leading up to the birth of Christ. The last 400 of those years is what is called a period of silence. And that is after the last prophet in the Old Testament. There represents a 400-year timeline where people did not hear from God at all. The people of God that had been pursuing God and following God, dead silence for 400 years. No prophet speaking God's word. People living off of the movement of God that they had heard about from their ancestors. Think about this. At the birth of Christ, at the pronouncement of the angel, there was not one person alive who had heard from God in a definitive way. And the first words spoken to break the silence are words from an angel to shepherds that say, "Behold, I have good news." Now, this is significant. I remember when I was a child and I had disobeyed or done something wrong, which was often, there was a line that my mother used to say. Your mom probably said the same thing. Just wait till your daddy gets home. Now, some of y'all say, "Well, no, my mom just beat me." Like, all right, I know what you're talking about. But for some of us, it was like, just wait till your daddy gets home, okay? And what that means is there's that waiting period of, okay, I know I've messed up. I know I have dropped the ball. I know I haven't lived up to expectations. And now I got to wait with anticipation, with nervousness, that my father is going to come home and I'm going to feel the wrath, that feeling. Just wait till your father comes home. Can I say, I wonder if that's what the people of God were sensing for 400 years. Man, have we really made God that mad that he's not even talking to us anymore? Have we really made God that angry that his anger is, he is just saving it up for an enormous lashing? Can you just imagine for 400 years as the people of God stumbled around in the darkness and the world was desperately lost, that the Father for 400 years, what was he doing? Was he waiting? Was he building up his wrath to come and just demolish the universe? Here's the good news, that when Daddy came home, he brought good news. Now, should he have punished us? Of course. Could he have punished us? Of course. Would it have been justified? For sure. Yet when God is wrapped in flesh and appears here on earth, he comes to proclaim good news. After years of disconnection and disobedience and darkness, God shows up. And in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." You know, a Savior, let me just say this and we'll move quickly over this because this is going to be part of the main part of the message for Christmas Eve. And I once again encourage you to bring your friends. I believe God's going to do a great work here. But a Savior is only given if somebody needs saving. The concept of God sending a Savior is evidence and proof that there's a problem. We don't send a Savior to people who are fine. We don't send a Savior to people who aren't in danger. We don't send a Savior unless there is a time of great peril that is before us. And when Jesus enters the world, he comes as a Savior because the world is in trouble. But here is the good news. Jesus, after he had grown up, after he was born, he's having a conversation with a guy named Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee and a very smart guy, and he's sitting down with him, and we have recorded in the Bible this conversation, and this is how Jesus explains the purpose in which he came. This is not just the message from an angel. This is not, possibly there could have been, you know, the game telephone. Maybe the angel said something to the shepherds and the shepherds misunderstood it and they shared. Maybe that was it. No. But here, I'm going to fast forward to the life of Jesus himself, and he's going to tell you why he came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, for he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Christmas is good news. In a world of bad news, Christmas is the story that could every single day justify the front page on every newspaper across the world. Every single day, God really loves us. God still loves. Could you imagine if that's what we woke up to every day? That instead of getting on Bradenton.com or ABC or CBS or NBC or Fox News or whatever it is that you're seeing, and whatever you do, you pop that up, and the first thing that appeared was a number one front headline with a picture of Jesus or a picture of the cross that said, God loves you. Top story of the day. The story of Christmas is the greatest story that's ever been told. It's that God truly does care about mankind. He had not forgotten, and the 400 years of silence wasn't 400 years of stewing, preparing to destroy. It was 400 years of preparing before his son would be wrapped in flesh to come and to live and to die for you and for me. You know, some might say, listen, I get it, bro. I've heard this before. I've heard this. God loves me, great, but you don't understand what's going on in my life. You don't understand the circumstances. It seems like God has forgotten me. He's overlooked me. If he could just do this one thing, if he could just do this for me, if he could just put my marriage back together, if he could just bring my child home, if he could just cure my sickness, if he could just give me my job back, if he could just give me a raise, if he could just get me a better house. I mean, whatever it is that's in your mind that's keeping you from grasping that God loves you, let me say it to you this way. Christmas is the story of how God gave you a gift that no other gift you could be asking for could ever rival what he's already given you. You might feel like he's holding back and he needs to do more, but listen to this. God literally can't give us anything of any more value than what he has already given us through Christ. I'm going to say that one more time because I have to get this. Because there is this seed in our culture that God is angry and God is mad and God is disconnected from us and God is holding back from us and he's waiting for us to prove ourselves before he really gives us that blessing. People write books about getting the more of God and how we want more, and God came so we could win in life and all this kind of junk. Here's the truth. For all those people who are sitting waiting for God to give you some special gift that's really going to be the aha moment, that's really going to motivate you to go live your life and serve him, that's really going to motivate you to go love people, for you to go change the world, can I say this? He's already given you what you need most. He's already given me what I need most. Everything else is just gravy. What are we waiting on? Christmas is the story of the greatest gift in the world's already been given. Have you received it? You see, God led with it all. I have a student of mine from South Florida that is a professional poker player. And he knows about what it means to put all the chips in. Listen, God led with it all. Christmas is the story of how God led with it all. He was all in and he still is. That's God. That's good news. But the truth is this morning that few of us are all in. But thank God that the only chips that matter in eternity are the ones he pushed to the middle of the table 2,000 years ago when he sent Christ. You know, some of us are depressed about the fact that we don't feel like we give enough or we do enough or our heart condemns us. But can I say this today? The only chips that matter for eternity are the chips that were pushed in the middle of the table when Christ died for you. Christmas is the story of good news. You see, condemnation was not the mission of God, and it never is. Saving people is. Luke 19, verse 10, Jesus says of himself, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." You know, you might feel lost in the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, searching for meaning. But let me say this, you aren't the only one searching this holiday season. God is seeking you. If you haven't been found yet, he's still seeking. That's who Jesus is. So the first thing we can learn about Christmas is good news. The second is this, Christmas brings great joy. The presence of Jesus in a messed up world was reason for great joy. Joy is beyond circumstantial happiness. It takes us above our circumstances and sets our heart and mind in the heavenlies with Christ. Rejoicing means a gladness of heart versus the gladness of circumstance. Happiness is a gladness of circumstance. Joy, though, is a gladness of heart. It is a position of your heart regardless of your circumstances, good or bad. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Philippi in chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You see, Christmas brings great joy because it is the story of how God came into the most unusual of circumstances, yet the circumstances don't cloud the truth. What do I mean by that? If you really think about the Christmas story, there's a lot of bad circumstances that are around it. There was no room in the inn. Jesus was born in a manger. But isn't it weird that we don't sit around at Christmas mad and frustrated that Jesus was born in a manger? I mean, we don't sit there and be like, "I can't believe there was no room in the inn. I'm still fired up about that." No, that's not the story. We aren't upset about the fact that God chose shepherds to be the communication strategy for this news. I mean, if you really think about that circumstance, it's like, God, it took you 400 years to come up with that plan? I mean, there was like heralds. I mean, you could have appeared to all the kings of the earth. I mean, you could have appeared to Caesar himself, and you could have said, "Hey, you know, my son is here." I mean, there's some great plans, but God didn't choose that plan. He chose shepherds in a field. That's a really weird and maybe even uncomfortable circumstance, but we don't meditate on that because we understand the great joy that Christmas is above the circumstances. Maybe some of you, when you kind of find out, I know I did, when I found out that the real true story of the Magi or the wise men coming, that they probably showed up maybe like a year to 2 years later, I was really disappointed. I was mad. It messed up everything I'd said. I thought they showed up that day, right in time. And I'm like, God, these, like, what did they do? What was more important than that? You know what? Why did it take them so long? Why were you already in a house when they came? And, you know, we don't sit and think about that because that's a circumstantial part of the story that doesn't matter. Because Christmas is about the great joy that is brought through the truth that God really loves people, that he really sent Jesus for people, and that God is no longer distant, but he is with us. See, circumstances take a back seat to the joy that we experience because the eternal reality of the presence of God is with us. Now hear me, I recognize, and we all recognize, that Christmas is really a circumstantial time for a lot of us. It's a season in which many of us are reminded of what we don't have or who we don't have anymore. It's a time in which there are comparisons with the Joneses, and we recognize that some of our neighbors, if they could just, the trash that they're moving out of their house to make room for their new stuff could be what we package and put underneath our Christmas tree. It's a time in which we kind of look and we say, man, I wish I could find love again. And many of us spend all our days that we're not working sitting in front of the TV and watching Hallmark movies and hoping that would happen to us. It's a time of pain for people and emptiness and even depression. It's a time when our circumstances can be underlined and even highlighted by the increased pressure around us. Yet we need to hear today that Christmas brings great joy because it's the story of how our greatest need has been met. And our circumstances are overshadowed by the great light of the bright morning star. He is Emmanuel, God with us. I want to show you a video that I saw this week. Before we play it, I want to tell you how hard it is for me to show this because LeBron James used to be my boy, okay? Because he played for the Miami Heat, and I love LeBron. But then he sold us out and went back to Cleveland. And there are many days in which I've hated him, okay? But I've gotten over it through God. And I want to show you something that happened this week that I think perfectly illustrates great joy that Christmas brings.
At intermission here in Boston, where they often honor a hero of the game. Many times it's a police officer or perhaps a member of the firefighting units, but it was a Special Olympian tonight. And LeBron James, after the young man got a standing ovation, went over to...
This young man was honored. He's a Special Olympian, and he was told as a child, his parents were told that he would never walk again. And he's fought through it, and now he is being honored at this Boston Celtics game for the Special Olympics. And when LeBron James walks away from him, he's still disabled. He still can't talk the way everybody else talks. He still can't run the way everybody else runs. He's not as strong as he could be, and he's still disabled. But here's the beauty of it. The smile on his face, the smile on his brother's face, and the smile of his mother's. If we could just maybe fast forward a little bit, we can get to mom in there. I think she pops out. All right, see that lady right there behind him? That's mama. This experience in the presence of LeBron James doesn't change the fact that he's disabled, but it made his life. You see that mama? Think of all the times at the doctor and all the dreams she had to give up on for her son. But in this moment right here, somebody in our world of great importance takes time out and goes in and just shows the kid that he's valuable, and it warms his heart, and his mom's thrilled, and they're going to talk about that for the rest of their life. Can I say this? Christmas is the story of not how King LeBron James came over and gave us a little pat on the back. It is a story of how the King of Glory came and displayed his great love for us. And regardless of our circumstances or situations that might not change, we really know that God's for us. He loves us. He sees us, and he hasn't forgotten us. That's the story of Christmas. The look on the kid's face, to me, should be how I respond to the presence of God every single day. That God would actually take the time to know me. See, listen, Christmas brings great joy. God doesn't come over and give us a hug like LeBron. You know, it might mean, and we need to hear this, it might mean, you know what, our loved one might not come back. Our marriage might not be fixed. Our kids might never come home. We might never get our job back. Our house might never sell. And we might not ever have the amount of presents under the tree that we think would make us happy. But Christmas is of great joy. Because above our circumstances, the reality is that he was born, that he lived, that he died, that he rose again, that he is still alive, that he is alive within us through his Holy Spirit, and that Jesus again. That's the story that is introduced to us at Christmas. I don't know what your situation is specifically, but Christmas can bring great joy. He is here. He loves you. He isn't going anywhere. Let that truth give you a gladness of heart that circumstances can't touch. And finally, not only is Christmas of good news and it brings great joy, but number three, it's for all people. It doesn't say, you know, I come to bring you good news of great joy for all the really good people in the world. I come to bring you good news of great joy for only people that look this way or talk in this language or have this religion. Christmas is the story of how God comes to proclaim good news of great joy, and the Christmas message is for everybody. Whoever. Jesus says it this way as he sums up his ministry in Mark chapter 16, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." The message and the love of Christ is not a circumstantial message for a group of people in one area of time. It's a transcendent message to all cultures, for all people, in all languages, and all prior religions. God has come, and he sent Christ. And it's for all people. You say, "No, bro, but not me. I'm not religious. I'm not big into church. I really don't even know why I'm here this morning." Say, I'm more of a Christmas Easter guy. I've done too many terrible things. I've seen too much. I've said too much. Or I haven't done enough, or I haven't worked hard enough, or I've given up enough. I haven't given up enough at things. I haven't prayed hard enough. I haven't read the Bible enough. I mean, we always try to disqualify ourselves from the greatest gift to mankind, don't we? Sometimes even our own hearts are the greatest condemner of our own lives. We beat ourselves up and we disqualify ourselves. And you know what? In order for me to illustrate this to you, I'm going to talk about a time in my life when I was disqualified. Go ahead and hit the music. 1990, sixth grade middle school talent show. If anybody knows this song, I'm so proud of you.
Freedom is a road seldom traveled by the multitude.
Public enemy number one.
All right, for 2 minutes and 35 seconds, I danced to Public Enemy number one. And I had a Bears jersey on that's kind of like this. It was actually Jim McMahon was the jersey, because Jim McMahon was like the bad boy of the NFL. Remember him? He had one weird color eye, glass color eye. And he was the quarterback for the Chicago Bears when they, you know, in 1985, 86 time frame. And they had Walter Payton Sweetness. And Chicago Bears were like the bad boys, and they were a really good team. So I put on my Bears jersey, and I went out, and I danced my tail off to that song. And unfortunately, I was disqualified from the competition because I was doing too many pelvic thrusts and too many sexually provocative dances. So I will not do the moves that I did and got disqualified for. But I'll say this, that everybody was on their feet, okay? And it was nuts. And I got disqualified from the competition. And I was so devastated because I had worked so hard dancing in front of the mirror for 2 months, getting prepared for this. I had all my five moves down, and when all else failed, I just went back to good old trusty pelvic thrust. And I got disqualified from the competition. You're like, what does that have to do with anything this morning? You know, there's a lot of people during Christmas time that disqualify themselves from the greatest gift of all time because they feel like they've messed up too much. They feel like they've broke all the rules. And they didn't break the rules of the middle school talent show, but they broke the rules that they know they shouldn't be doing. And for some people, they separate themselves from God at Christmas and just kind of soak up the whole Santa gifts fun thing, and they try to steer clear of God. But what we need to know about Christmas is that no one's disqualified. You see, the message of Jesus is for all people. And maybe you're here and you haven't lived up to expectation. Let me just encourage you a little bit. None of us have. But the gospel, the Christmas story, is how instead of God sitting around and waiting another 400 or 4,000 years until we got it right, he sends Jesus for you and for me. He's wrapped in flesh and he lives a perfect life. And then he's nailed to a cross and He breathes his last breath and he dies, but on the third day he rose again. And because of that truth, I don't care what you've done, you're not disqualified. Because your debt has been paid, your sin has been cleansed. It's been atoned for. So the challenge to us this Christmas is, if God doesn't disqualify you, why are you disqualifying yourself? See, Christmas is three things. It's good news. In a world of bad news, Christmas is really, really good news. The second thing is, it brings great joy. Though circumstances are difficult around Christmas time, the message of the gospel is an unconditional love that's above your circumstances. And finally, it's for all people. Even for me, and even for you. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father,